It's together and it has so long. Thank you, everyone. Welcome. Welcome, everyone who's come this evening. And I'm just going to apologise a little bit in advance because I have been on dead bands of wire. That's why I'm on the group. If you're wondering why I'm a bit slow or gazing at the wrong person, please feel free to stick your hand on the reminder, okay? So, I'd like to commence with our opening statement, which is that Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional lands and waters of the Paramount Yingara people. They are custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. Now, many of you know that we have actually changed that a little bit, but that won't actually come into effect until the next meeting. So that's one reason we won't come. Now, we've got apologies. I don't have any apology from anyone. Now, leave of absence. I'm just going to check. Councillor Gillen, we're on to the 3rd of October. Are you going to want to carry on with any of that? If you do, you're going to have to put in another request.
No, that was for a work trip, which has been postponed.
Okay, so you're happy that that's the end of every meeting. So, in fact, your leave of absence is not an angle, so we don't need to run that. All right, and we haven't had any absence. Thank you. All right, everyone, we can't keep this, we can't start this meeting until we approve the minutes for our last meeting. So let's go to item 4 on the agenda with regard to the last council meeting. So I would like that the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on the 10th of September as supplied to you with an accurate record of the proceedings of that meeting. Want me to come in? We'll go back because I didn't have any other leave of absence. But what I can see is Councillor Bowman, you are on a leave of absence from 8 October or on the 8th of October. Okay. So we'll just answer that one first. We're looking for moving. Thank you, Councillor Gillen, the seconder. Thank you, Councillor Chiba. All those in favour? Thank you.
Madam Mayor,
yes,
I'd like a leave of absence for the 30th of September.
Just the one day?
Yes.
So, if we can add that one in, please, leave of absence for Councillor Osterstock, 30 September. I think it's just following 30 September. To the normal, from 30 September to 30 September, however you wish to do it, it's just the one day. And look for a mover and a seconder. Mover, thank you, Councillor Tudor. Seconder, Councillor Nobbs. Thank you, Liza, for the moment. Thank you.
Can I have a question?
Yes, you can.
Hi, just regarding that. Should we be leaving single days off as an apology rather than a leave of absence?
Good question. Looks on.
No, it's better to have it as a leave of absence because that effectively is permission from the chamber that you can be absent from the council meeting from your role for that meeting, whereas that apology is treated an apology whereas it comes up nicely that you can make them at that council meeting.
So as a follow-up, is that the same for workshops and professional development sessions or are we better being apologies for those?
So the provisions under Section 54 of the Local Government Act talk about if you miss 3 consecutive meetings with the council, then the council can, so they may, and resolve that you be removed from your role as an elected member. There is no such provision with respect to missing things like workshops or training sessions. So certainly if you are an apology for those, you don't necessarily need your formal leave of absence. Your formal leave of absence prevents those meetings from being counted for the purpose of a section 4-1 for 3 consecutive meetings.
Thank you.
All right, so it's essentially a formalised going rather than a formal.
That's not going to be for workshops and then for the role.
Yes, just a question for further clarification, just for the benefit of Councillor Boyd. It also gives the leave from your committee responsibility.
Your obligations.
Thank you.
But there is, it's a good question because there's something else about, and I'll write a lot on the workshop with regard to that because it doesn't actually cover an apology if you're after another event. So if you are doing another event, it's by groups and a leaving absence in the balance. Okay, so I don't think that dealt with all our absences. Did we actually vote? No, Helen, did we actually vote on your one? Councillor Austin, to make sure we did. Yeah.
Yes.
That one. Okay, so here it on. Okay, so let's go back to the minutes. This was on item 4 on the agenda. We're going to approve the previous minutes. So, someone can move and the seconder. Thank you. Councillor Daniels moving. Somebody seconding on this moment. Someone who was there last time over. Councillor Hudson. Thank you. Ring Daniels. Seconding Councillor Hudson. All those in favour, please. All right. Thank you. That's fair. Okay, now we come to declarations of conflicts of interest. Does anyone just give me the item number, whether it's material or general, or anything, comments or paper on? But as long as we can have the item number, who it is there anyone with a third of a conflict of interest with any of the items on the agenda? All right, none from you. I'm going to bring in two from me. I'm going to declare a general conflict of interest with item 19.1, and I'm going to declare a material conflict of interest with item 19.2. So at that point, I'm going to be asking you to take over the statement. All right, so now we can say there's opening remarks. There are three things I wanted to put on here, but I'll start first of all with. I just want to mention Fabric, because this has been such a big event, and it was so well organised, so well attended, and it was after such a long time to be such an achievement for both this council and the community. So I just like, again, publicly congratulate on it privately to team members and that, but I would like to publicly to thank all of those who've been involved, the volunteers, staff, the artists, the community, everyone did come out. It was a real good job. All right, now, so I now am only making a statement of my own as part of the mayor's opening remarks. Thank you. Let's give you one moment while I break. Going to address resolution 308/24, which was passed by the Adelaide Police Council on the 27th of August 2024. This resolution has 13 separate parts covering 2 pages. Part 5 of that resolution requires, and I quote, A, the mayor publicly acknowledges that she did not comply with the mayor seeking legal advice policy, and B, the mayor attend training in relation to use of the mayor seeking legal advice policy adopted by council following a review of the same. Now, before turning to my response to the specifics of A and B of the resolution, I feel it necessary to raise a number of matters in order to put some context onto the response that I'm going to give you. So as you will be aware, the resolution in question relates to my exercise of the mayor seeking legal advice policy in the period between October and December of last year. While the first part of that advice was approved at a meeting of council in November 2023, council resolved in 2024 to initiate an inquiry into my exercise of the policy. There is a point of contention as to the scope of this inquiry, which I don't attempt to address tonight. If you want to speak to me one minute, you can just take that. So it's not quite the right version. So what I'm going to do, if I continue my report, then you're going to version for this. Yeah,
I don't have to be quick on that.
No, sorry, not at this point, I'm in a little speaking. Well, the first part, let me find, make sure I can match the incoming, so you've got all of them. While the first part of that advice was approved at the meeting of council of November 2023, council resolved in February 2024 to initiate an inquiry into my exercise of policy. There is a point of contention as to the proper scope of this inquiry, which I will not attempt to address tonight. Council has determined to appoint external representatives, that's Ms. Alison Lawyers, to conduct the inquiry. Consistent with my responsibilities as Mayor, I have throughout treated this process respectfully and taken it seriously, and even though I was on extended leave of absence due to health issues in the period between mid-February and mid-May, I have actively engaged in the inquiry process during that time and following. This includes providing very detailed written responses and to the issues that have been raised and the questions that have been put to me by those conducting the inquiry. I have done so at a very substantial personal and financial cost to myself, including engaging my own legal representation at a very substantial cost to assist me in this matter. Given the importance of these matters to the council and to our community, I consider it essential that I do so. The inquiry process culminated in the delivery of the final report to me after hours on the 15th of August. When I say me, it was in fact to my lawyers. By the time it came to my attention, because I was on leave of absence, that the final report had been completed and issued, I was overseas on leave. I only found out about that final report that had been completed on the 24th of August 2024 during that leave of absence. The final report forms, as I understand, the basis for the resolutions that have been made by council on which I have been asked to address tonight. It is important to know that while I was absent overseas, I only became aware on or about the 26th of August that the elected members intended to consider the final report at a meeting of elected members on the 27th of August 2024. Through my solicitors, I requested that any consideration of the final report be deferred until my return from overseas due to my absence. I was not in a position to properly consider the final report and represent my interests. I also reached out to some elected members direct to encourage them not to deal with this matter in my absence. Council chose not to accede to this request and have instead moved past the resolutions that I now stand to address. As there have been no recordings made of these confidential deliberations at that meeting, I do not have an insight into what was discussed about the inquiry report at the meeting. So as a consequence, I'm not aware of the extent to which the many concerns that I have raised throughout in regards to the inquiry process and the findings contemplated, and which I have challenged, have been taken into account by elected members. I have, throughout this inquiry process, repeatedly raised concerns about the fairness of the inquiry process itself. I have also repeatedly raised concerns about the substantive basis on which the proposed adverse findings were being contemplated. I have pointed the multitude of matters which, in my respectful opinion, should objectively cast down on the evidentiary basis upon which the adverse findings were being contemplated. While I have not yet had the opportunity to thoroughly review the final report, having only returned from leave on 16 September, I can only assume from the findings made that these important issues I raised in the main have not been accepted. I intend to scrutinise the final report closely and to ensure that the elected members have a fulsome understanding of any matters that fall into question the findings that have been made. I will challenge any findings that have been made where they are unsound. It has been deeply damaging to me that despite my request that they not do so, all resolutions against me have been made whilst I have been on leave. The result of this has been very serious and unjustified damage to my reputation. The information provided publicly by council to the media has been very damaging to me, both reputationally and financially. While things can always be done better, and I've acknowledged this from the outset, the decisions made by the council on 27 August does not properly take into account all the factors that I raised and maintained, including critically, that I was acting at all times in good faith, in exceptional circumstances, and always on behalf of the council and the community. Turning to the requirements of the resolution, Part A, due to the context outlined above, I hope you can understand that I am not able to acknowledge publicly that I did not comply with the policy, because as the policy stands, I do not believe I did so, and therefore to do so would require me to be untruthful both to this chamber and our community, which I cannot do. With regard to resolution part B, to the extent that this resolution is focused on me and based on adverse findings, for the same reasons I have explained, I do not accept the premise of this resolution. However, I am pleased at least that the resolution reinforces a view that I advocated for earlier this year to elected members to review and then update the policy in a considered way rather than attempt policy on the run. I therefore look forward to attending training with all councillors on this application after the review and once it is finalised. Now, I'll end this statement by saying I will not be taking any questions at this time. If you have them, please send those queries to me and I will forward them to my lawyers and they will provide an appropriate response to you. So I don't intend now to go into any of that anymore.
Question to the administration. Will the mayor's statement be published in minutes?
We can request for that. We can ask for a mover and a seconder and we can put them in. I believe that's the way to do it, but I'm not 100% sure. Is that correct? If somebody would like to move it, they can, and if somebody would like to second it, they can. So I don't know if that was your intent.
No, that's
question. Okay, so the question's been asked.
Yeah.
Does anybody want the statement put into the minutes? Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Do you have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Gill. So all those in favour, please. Thank you. The motion is lost. Thank you for attending to that. I wanted to go on and talk about. Sorry. excuse me, everyone. Sorry, we're just getting to my bias one. All right, so I just wanted to say as a separate part of this statement, is that I really want everyone this evening to respect the deliberations around the table, and I wanted to remind us all to be respectful in our deliberations, in particular to remind us all about 75G, so that we are we're here for our community, and we're going to do this in a dignified way, and that we are just mindful of those regulations, please. All right, so next we are moving on. We don't have any questions adjourned or on the table. We do have a petition, and 8.1, if you refer to 8.1 on your agenda, you'll see there's a petition. Now, the petition's been accepted, and I think it's already been implemented before then. This is 8.1. I know the Brett was supportive on the long side of this. Do you want to actually talk to him?
Sure, thank you. Through your worship, just to clarify, the staff are supportive of the intent of the petitioners here, so no action has been taken because the chamber and council may resolve to do a range of things. So we'll put a recommendation in there that council may wish to consider in terms of providing some feedback to the petitioners and also some direction to staff on what to do about the matter.
All right, thank you. Now, we don't have any deputations this evening, but we do have a public forum. Did anyone want to speak? Sorry.
If we resolve, I'm happy to move what was printed in the agenda.
Oh, I beg your pardon, but if this was an 811 one.
Yeah.
So, move Councillor Daniel, we need a second of these.
Can I speak briefly?
Yes, of course.
I did actually contact the supporters about this because I recall back in 2020 we had. The residents come to us requesting a speed limit reduction along the length of Longwood Road, that was unfortunately rejected by DIT at the time. But Mr. Waters is in that he's much more confident that we'll be successful this time, partly because it's a shorter section of the road, and it's also really about that intersection with Walcott Road, which is already reduced to 60. And I even recall the thing that tripped my memory about this was Councillor Grant saying he went along that road and he couldn't understand how people could go 80 because there were so many twists and turns along. So I think it's an appropriate motion, and I hope that on this occasion did do make that change to make that a safer road for our residents to drive on.
All right, thank you. So Councillor Taylor, do you have a second now? Councillor Marks, thank you. Did you want to speak?
Just briefly, to echo Councillor Daniel's comments, I think I've written my job along there. I can't believe that it's 80, and I did have a look at it on Google Maps, Google Street View today, and I note there are ample 80 signs on there, and it's just really weird. It's almost like an excitement to go at a speed which is greater than what the road can handle. So I think this is a really good thing.
All right, thank you. So did anybody else want to debate the other time? Right, if you all go to a vote, please, all those in favour. All right, thank you. That was carried unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay, look, so we don't have any presentations tonight, and we don't have any questions on notice. I think they withdrawn the motion for 11.1.
So is that withdrawn, or do we just miss the public forum? I'm just wondering if there's anyone who wants to speak in the public forum.
I did ask the gentleman earlier, is anyone wanting to speak in the public forum? No. Anyone else? No? Could be happening. All right, thank you. So let's go on. No presentations, no questions on that. We did have a motion on those, but we did want to before that one. That was one item. Thank you. So 11.1, this here has now been withdrawn for this meeting. All right, so item 12, these are the officer's reports and decision items. We have 12.1, which is the Adelaide Hills Council submission for the Royal Commission into Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence. And this was. Ms. Charlton, this was your area. Did you want to speak to this item? Okay, thank you. So let's look for a proposal. Would somebody like to propose this item? Thank you. Councillor Pascale, do you want to talk to the item?
I'm going to hold one today.
All right, thank you. Let's see. Do you have a second, please? Thank you, Councillor Gill. Would you like to speak to the item? Oh, is it my right to speak? All right, thank you. All right, would anybody else like to speak for this item? All right, if not, I'll go back to the mover and ask, do you want to speak now? You don't have to, but if you would like to.
Yes, thank you, Matrina.
It's not usual practice for an elected member to draft a submission like this on behalf of Adelaide Hills Council, but in spirit of full disclosure, I drafted what we are presenting for Families, Domestic and Sexual Violence Royal Commission and endorsing it tonight. After meetings with advisors for the Assistant Minister for the Prevention of Family Violence and Minister for Social Services, as well as the Australian Local Government Association in Canberra, we were encouraged to do this submission. However, when it was time to do it, we had sadly lost our champion for this work, Josh Spear. Mr. Spear worked closely with Our Watch on our behalf and drafted our program, had extensive knowledge about how best we can implement this toolkit in our community, and for that I am eternally grateful. This is the knowledge that we need to write a submission like this, and with my extensive experience in advocacy and family, domestic and gender-based violence, I was able to assist Rebecca Shepherd to fill this gap. Together we planned it out. I drafted this submission, which gave Ms. Shepherd the ability to fact-check, refine and bring what we have here tonight to the Chamber. I'd like to thank her deeply for her work on this too. Of course, this process was outside usual protocol, and I did seek our CEO's permission to do this. And as an observation, it was actually the first time I had, in my decades of this work, asked a man for permission to use my skills and knowledge to advocate to end violence against women. Being submerged in a sector which prevents violence against women and children, I took it for granted that it was just something that you did. But I share this reflection that highlights the space I'm doing this work in right now. Out of South Australia's 68 councils, 37% are men. Of mayors and 21% of CEOs are female, and only 10% of councils have both a female mayor and CEO. With this, there is only 35.5% of elected members across the state in local government who are women. We still have a long way to go in creating the gender parity that we need to help make meaningful change for our communities. As was recently highlighted in our quarterly report, we have fallen behind in the areas Dr. Sarah Wendt would refer to as getting our house in order. This is the work that shows our community we are setting the benchmarks that go with our statement of commitment to end family and domestic violence. As the Our Watch reminds us, gender inequality is a driver of gender violence, and despite having started this work only a year ago, the Chamber still has not seen a workplace safety plan and internal domestic violence policy, the results of an internal gender equity order or a gender equity action plan. So we're not wanting to focus on what we can do better. So I'm not wanting to focus on what we have not done well. This submission to the Royal Commission focuses on what we have done well and calls on the resources from state government to help us improve. For now, though, I look to all of us here tonight that if you choose to endorse this submission, please take a moment to reflect on what you can do as an individual to help someone. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Councillor Pascoe. Now,
The closing remarks have been made.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
That's okay.
Are you okay with that?
Yep.
All right, I apologise for that. That's a loss of attention on my part. Okay, so let's carry on down. So item 12.8. You've got to vote on this one. So I've got a move and a second. I'm looking for just a vote on this, please. Anyone wanting to debate this? First of all, anybody else? Okay, so here we go. All those wanting to vote on this, do you have to vote? All those in favour, please. Thank you. Thank you. That's very unanimous. All right, item 12.2. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. This is the Adelaide Hills Council Roadside Vegetation Management Plan. Mr. Waters, now I need to put the line in here to do a bit of an introduction. Would you want to do that or see?
Thank you, Your Worship. I've just had a couple of queries from councilmembers over the last couple of days about this one, so I just thought it would be worth clarifying for everyone. Just to make sure people understand, this is the Roadside Vegetation Management Plan. It's something that we've had in place for many years now. This is the 5-year refresh of it and resubmission to get approval from the Native Vegetation Council. The purpose of it is to ensure that we have permission from the Native Vegetation Council to clear native vegetation and roadsides under the circumstances described in the plan. It does not oblige or commit the council to doing any particular level of service in that regard, or particularly to increase costs or services that we're providing, the work we're doing in that space. So for those who are wondering whether this comes, you know, there are budget implications, etc., that is not the purpose of this plan. This is a regulatory instrument to get permission to do the types of clearance that this plan talks about, Native Edge Council, so we don't have to go to them every single time we want to come in a tree or pull out some shrubbery that's encroaching the.
All right, thank you very much for that. Now, is there something you would like to propose on
that? Yeah, I actually have a couple of questions. Okay. My first question is around consultation, because the report talks about stakeholder consultation, but says that under the heading community, it says not applicable. But there are a lot of community members that manage their own roadside diversions. So I'm just wondering what the rationale is for not undertaking any community consultation in relation to this plan.
Yeah, through you, Your Worship. That's a good question. The reason we aren't proposing consultation on this plan again is this regulatory plan that reflects effectively what we've been doing for many years. It's not about impacting the community. It's about seeking permission from the Native Edge Council to remove native or to be able to impact native vegetation in the ways described in the plan. So we wouldn't normally go through a human consultation on a plan such as that. Again, it's not about council saying, okay, we are going to go out and do something different to what we've been doing in the past. So that's the rationale for that. Yeah, let's get it.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I've got a question. I've got Councillor Brown, but I think you started a bit open.
Yeah, I had one more, but it's a separate topic, so I'm happy
to hear someone else. So that's Councillor
Brown, are you saying? Yeah, thanks, Your Worship. Just a question, because we looked at the tree strategy last night, and I was just wondering whether Mr. Waters could consider cross-referencing the documents, because this one talks about the need to retain fallen timber on the roadside of reserves, obviously, when there's native veg, because of the biodiversity contribution of that, whereas the tree strategy, which obviously isn't always talking about roadsides or native veg, but it talks about cost-neutral recourse recovery policy to enable the dispersal of firewood and redistribution of processed vegetation, basically removing the material that this report suggests retaining, obviously in particular circumstances. So they might just, the question is, can they administratively just be cross-referenced to make sure there isn't a contradiction?
Yeah, through you, that's a good suggestion. Certainly one we'll take on board, and I'm sure we can make cross-reference administratively. Just noting that the tree strategy isn't an adopted document at this stage, so it's difficult to cross-reference a document, but we'll just make sure that the intent between the two is consistent. And I think just lastly to note that this one again is about the native vegetation, whereas your tree strategies contemplating and dealing with a whole bunch of other types of vegetation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Waters. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, thank you.
So what we're looking for now then is a mover. Thank you. Councillor March, do you like to speak to the item?
Actually, I've got a quick question about it. Probably Mr. Waters, but the question relates to the title of the policy. I was wondering, I guess when I first read the title, I thought it was about all vegetation on the side of the road, but it became very clear when I was reading the document that it's specifically about native vegetation. I was wondering if any consideration had been given to naming it the roadside native vegetation, and just so that it's a bit clearer exactly what it's about.
Mr. Waters, so just to clarify that the vegetation management plan is a fact under that name of it.
Yes, Your Worship, and through you, it is about seeking a permit from the Native Vegetation Council and how we deal with vegetation. So deal with vegetation. It's a good question and comment about the title of the plan. And again, I'm pretty confident we can deal with that administratively.
All right, so Councillor Sally had another question.
The plan talks about regrowth. And you mentioned that's not about, Mr. Waters mentioned that it's not about, you know, going ahead and getting rid of anything, but it does talk about that we can clear anything under 200 mil. And I'm just wondering, what's the frequency of that? Because I find them competing objectives potentially if we're saying that we can clear anything under 200 millimetres, but we're also trying to promote regrowth. So I've made a decision. I'm just interested in the views of the administration around the way that they operate together.
I'll actually work. Okay, so I'm going to just hand that to the CEO that was involved in this water.
Yes, through you, Richard, and we've got. I'll stop on the spot on the screen at the moment, but generally the work is within clearance envelope. So it's around fundamentally road safety and sightline maintenance. We're not going to go back into the verbiage further than those clearance envelopes and the sightline maintenance bounds to clear native vegetation from the ground. So just want to clarify that it's going to be up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a clearance envelope that's outlined in the place, which goes just back beyond the edge of the bitumen and up to 6 metres high.
So it's roughly what about a metre then?
Back from the edge of the bitumen, yes.
Okay, so somebody else have a question? Ms. Waller, so do I understand it? Okay, so we're looking for a mover for this item.
Good.
Sorry, who are you welcome? I'll be following the move council. Yeah, and the second was, well, we didn't get that far.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pauline, Councillor, if you like, for the second, would you like to speak to the election?
That's all right. I'm happy to move and speak just very briefly. I don't have
the I'll come back to you.
huge amount of prepared speech to put, but I think this is an excellent plan. It does a really good sort of compromise between public safety and sight lines and things like that, and also preserving native vegetation along our roadsides. I remember when I was at school looking at native vegetation finding out that South Australia was a leader in the area of native vegetation, and our roadsides are a really important native vegetation corridor and habitat for species. So I think it's an excellent plan. Hopefully the Native Vegetation Council will endorse it and we can move forward. So thank you.
Thank you. So that's
more of a council if you'd like to speak with us a second. Yes, through you there. Like some others, I actually got excited. This was actually about roadside management, verge management. So I was actually going to get some blackberry here, but that's fine. Because that would actually help some maybe biodiversity be able to come through, but we'll talk about that on a different subject. Very excited to see some native vegetation being actually looked after and making sure we can keep those on site open for people to try and get ahead of our way sometimes. I know I've got a personal situation where I have a lot of native vegetation that walks my view. It's good to have it cleared and resolved, but my neighbour tends to go out and mow it and bring it back. We could be. So it's a very good plan, very good document.
And I hope to get the native council actually approve it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Councillor Gillard, anybody else want to talk to you? Thank you. So, just very, very briefly, there were some statistics in this report that I thought were really interesting and worth highlighting, in that there's only 10-12% of the original Mount Lofty native vegetation that remains. But within Adelaide Hills Council, there's approximately 26.5% or 21,000 hectares remaining. So I think it's really important that we do how we're going to protect and promote biodiversity in those areas. But I was really glad to see in the plan that it talks about the 437 native vegetation markers, which are the blue markers with the yellow on them that describe areas that are protected. And within our area, that protects 245 hectares of native vegetation. So I just really thought it was good to highlight some of those statistics that are in that plan, and I do think it's a good thing. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Howard. Anybody else wishing to speak? Right, well, I go back to the room, thank you. If there's not anything else, thank you. We take that first, but I don't need to write a reply. So all those in favour, thank you. Inside, we can hear them, it's carried on. Sorry, so did that just about anything?
Yes.
Okay, so you're on the 12.3. This is our proposed road widening at the County Road Corridor. The intersection of Tiers Road and Vickers Road and then towards the sun. Now, Mr. Waters, do you want to say anything on this one to get any queries on the information? So I'm looking for a vote of this, thank you, Councillor Dunham. Can you speak to your question?
Yes, just briefly, I've covered that road quite frequently in recent times. And so it can be a dangerous intersection. Particularly, Tiers Road does carry fair bit of heavy traffic. There is a flower farm out there, and also lens with apples from that do sometimes bring their semi-trails through there as well. So, this road widening will open up sight lines and will improve the safety of traffic on that road.
Well, thank you. So let's see, do you have a second? Anybody else want to speak in the debate? That's all right. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask a question. It does say road widening proposal, and Councillor Herman mentioned that, but my understanding is just transferring money to recognise existing ways. There's no additional work contemplated or received.
Can you speak to this morning?
Through your worship, that is correct. It's actually widening the legal road as opposed to traffic in the road. However, by making sure that council does actually have that leverage in that section of the road is required without running into issues that we currently have there. Yeah. I mean, that the police actually brought up.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else on this debate? Thank you. So we've got a mover and a second. We will just go back to Councillor Dunham. Do you want to do what the library All right. So all those in favour then of this item, thank you very much. Okay, that's very nice. All right, now we're on item 12.4 on our agenda. That's a response. So we're here this evening is another plastic product. Which was the Women's Act 2020. This is item 12.4 on the agenda. And Ms. Waters, is there anything there, any questions or any new information you need to offer? Okay. All right, so we're looking for a proposal, please. And just there some members here, thank you. Councillor Horst Stark.
That's brilliant. Do you
want to speak?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And you have a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Grant. Do you want to speak, Councillor Grant? Seconder.
Yeah, thank you, Worship, if I may. I thank staff for preparing the submission. I think it's important to have our say on this. We've part of our waste management issues are plastic, particularly single-use plastic, which are hard to or impossible to recycle and costly to landfill. We've been bent the line for a long time that recycling plastic is a solution to our plastic problem. It's not. We're close on 10 billion tonnes of plastic on the planet. We've just got to stop using it. So this is one small step towards that. We've simply got to stop creating more plastic that really doesn't have a recyclable avenue to go. Part of them might try. So, yes, support the motion.
Right, thank you. So we've all moved in second. Anybody else want me to debate your answer, please? All right, let's move. I'll go back. I'm sure. All right, so we'll just go to the vote. There's all those in favour of this item. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. Now, we're on item 12.5. What we have to do here is that the LGFA has witnessed a lot of people who have actually been in this election, but we will do it the way that they've obviously been in the past, and then you'll see that you can get on the names of five people to consider. So I'm going to hand over this process to the CEO and then we'll be carried over to the Okay, so can we look in the German please, or what can I get a moment? Thank you, Councillor Floyd, seconded. Thank you, Sir Hill. Thank you, all those in favour. All right, thank you. So we have time now, and I'll now hand over.
Thank you, Chair.
So we'll just be in the first time. So we're trying, we need to find and establish who are people who can nominate. We're writing on that now on the five members.
Through the mayor, we have ballot paper that have represented four members that are for nomination. Have you got a copy of all of those? Correct. So I will call them out, and it's really that we need to nominate two of these that are listed and all about it. It's unfortunate that we don't. They are listed in the report.
Yeah, they're all listed in the report.
And
okay.
All the committees are there.
Move.
I'm just going to ask a question as to whether someone is moved.
I'm just going to close the paper for Mike Sedgman because he's been on there a long time and he's very interested. The other person who I've not been to name is I don't understand him either. If somebody thinks that there's something better on that combination, then what can we go? So we're going to the second one from here. I've moved it, and I'll say Councillor Dan seconded. Happy there's no discussion on this. We've got two items. If you don't mind, we'll move forward and we'll put up some more. Okay, so let's go to come back into the meeting. We need to vote to come back into the meeting. We should run out. Okay, well, that is okay. We'll carry on. Okay, there we go. Sorry, so let's go back to what we've resolved. I'm moving that we vote for our session of figure as a representative. So all of those in favour, please do click. Now, do I at this time sign this document for future? Please show me why I'm signing that in the village and everyone shows up with fun. So we're going to go next to the returning after the normal is here, government's present. So, do we want to make sure there's no interest here? So then it will go in. And then what happens to the role of the heritage? Would you be able to copy that? So I know that I think I have a meeting, but I just have to come see the one thing. Oh, yeah, she'll go in. And then we'll be
you build it?
No, we can do that, yeah.
All right, thank you everyone. So we have that. So let's move on to the new agenda. So we're now at 12.6, which is the representation of here, which I've got the workshops on, understand. And so what's the best way of doing this thing? What I'd be happy for is for someone to propose something. But if you prefer, we can go again and give you more about it, but you have got the workshop. So I've got two people, one, two, three people we have to go to Moonstone Deputy.
Yeah, it was.
Nice. Councillor Danny, your first right, you put forward the proposal.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I'd like to insert option three into both point four and point five, which is around having a three ward structure with equal representation, and I'll speak to you about now if I can. Yeah, so I guess I won't just talk about the ward aspect of it. I think it's important to acknowledge that this proposal that we're going to ultimately and hopefully take out to consultation maintains 12 elected members. So I think that's really important for us as a council, given the complexity of council, not just the size of it, but the nature of the fact that we're half metro, half rural. It is a big council. There are lots of different communities of interest. And I think having 12 elected members enables us to work better for our community and to have a more in-depth understanding of what their thoughts are and needs. It also requires us to contemplate area councillors, and I don't personally agree with that. I think it's unnecessary. I don't think it adds value, and I think that ultimately, whilst having a ward structure means that we are voted in through a ward, it is our responsibility to be representative of the entire council, and that our decisions are in the interest of the entire council, not just our local area. Having been through the last representation review, I don't wish to go down that same path. And if I reflect on my time with the current structure that we have, I did see some value in it. Part of the value I saw in it was that it afforded me an opportunity to engage more widely with the community. I received more invitations to things which were in the Rangers ward that I otherwise, with the old structure, just would never have been invited to, from Milo to Urabla, etc. However, I do think there is a negative aspect of it, in particular around the inconsistent numbers between the wards. So I think although the numbers are ultimately decided on the population, it created a perception that, I guess there was one ward that was stronger or had a greater voting block, and there's this big line, and I just don't agree with that. Like, for me, it's really, I undertake the role really looking at the entire council, and I feel having an equal representation between the wards will help negate that perception that somehow a particular part of the council might be favoured. That's not something that I bring to this chamber. I think it's important that it aligns, so the wards, irrespective of the options, do align with town boundaries. I think that's really important. We have quite distinct communities of interest within different townships, and I wouldn't want to see that be split. But I will also acknowledge, and it doesn't really matter what option you look at, none of it's perfect. There's no ward structure there where I think, that really represents all of that area. It's just not the way our council is, and that's okay. But I do think option three to is probably the one that best represents those different communities of interest that exist throughout our council. So I'm hopeful that I think this will be well received. I think, again, having that equal representation, I think this is the option that best represents those communities of interest, broadly speaking, but it's not perfect. And that's why I put forward this as the potential option to move forward.
Right, thank you. Now, who's seconder?
Well, I had a question before, but now that Councillor Daniels put this in, I'm agreeing with him anyway, so.
No, I'm happy to second.
Can I ask my question, though?
Sure.
So I just started reading a report that in the additional analysis in 0.2, it has determined whether the existing known ward structure should be retained or whether councillor should be divided into wards. Were we actually going down a pathway of no wards at some point in that report? Because no. It actually says should be retained as no wards. No. I thought, hang on. That sounds like an old report to me.
Sounds like the last one we had.
The other question I had was, has there been consideration of any impact if Woodford and Woodford and Ross River go to the town council? Mm-hmm. How does that show that the voters doesn't impact? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right, I can now speak as a seconder. Totally support this option 3. I looked at all the options of the report and this one sort of was the best out of the lot. I got a fairly even representation across the whole council. Make sure that every ward has the same amount of councillors. And that also helps to bring some, hopefully some representation to a big spot in our council that doesn't have any representation. And that's sort of between the Woodside and the Dunn area. It's quite vast that there's an area there that there's no representation or no local councillor from that area, so it might actually encourage people in those areas to actually run. And I'm quite happy to see three wards actually. I think that's the best fit we've got. Having been a resident for the last, worked a representative review and had many submissions to the previous council before the previous council was on. I'm really happy to actually see some wards being put up as an option. So I think our community would be very happy to see that too. I hope people support that.
All right, well, thank you,
Councillor Kerr. Councillor Burnham, you want to say anything? I had two options I was generally considering. One was the one that's on the board, another one was four wards and three. And the reason that I looked at those places, I was trying to bring together communities of interest. That I think is a key factor in determining wards. No marginal, and I will support this. But that's an important feature. I think the scene shift of power from 7 down here to 5 is a very important aspect of this. But if the perception or the truth, people see it that way. So this will correct that and should be workable. With the three wards, a bit of self-interest here, I suppose, bring back Valley Ward to a manageable size, I suppose. It's pretty big at the moment, and the travelling involved, as Councillor Dugan would know, and so with another, if you cover the whole ward, it's huge. It's about 2/3, I think, of the 795 square kilometres. It's vastly popular. It's still full of people live there, and they expect attention. I think Councillor Dan, when you've won me over, as I said, I might have been. Probably 4 and 3, but I think this will satisfy community expectations.
Okay, so you've spoken on the item. Now I've got two others. Have we got questions or we can speak?
Mm-hmm.
You want to speak? Okay, Councillor Jeter.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Trying not to repeat anything that's been said before, but I think just the perspective I brought to my thinking in mind in support of exploring the three ward option, I guess comes with the experience and challenge of two, as well as being a first term elected member, not having been through the previous rep review. It did give me an opportunity, I guess, just to see it through some fresh eyes. And I think one of the things I found being, I've highlighted before, having a little more time available to engage with the community as an elected member. Some of the value that comes from that geographical proximity, the number of phone calls I receive inbound from residents who have spent the time to go online, to look at their elected members, to look at the wards to which they belong, because it does give a level of comfort, I believe, at times, on that this person I'm contacting will understand my part of the world just a little bit better than the next person. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most important things for us as elected members, is to have the confidence of our community that when they call someone, they're going to get it. Now, I don't think we're always all going to get it from maybe the resident's perspective, but that local knowledge is one of the most valuable things in representation. And to be able to, you know, I rely heavily, especially from our values board representatives at the moment, in informing me, because I have not been in the hills for as long as many of the people here. I'm very, very comfortable and confident in my little southern part of the world, but I rely on that information flowing through, and I do think at the moment there is called that band that just doesn't necessarily get that, not just representation for the residents, but that representative support it gives to the other elected members from the other wards. So I am in absolute support of going down this looking at three. And I guess I'll just repeat that idea of that equitable representation through the numbers. I think that's a value that I think speaks volumes to our community on our intentions as a council as a whole.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I came to a similar conclusion. On Councillor Gill, I was one of the people who said that I did two reviews ago when I was not on council. One of the issues that I had was the perception, and even though the quotas are approximately the same, the Rangers ward as it is could always outvote the Valleys ward. Even though it is a perception, it is a real perception that is held out there in the community. And that is an issue of confidence in the council. And I think for a council the size of ours, we definitely need to have wards. I believe we need to have as equal a size wards as possible, basically, in terms of number of representatives. I actually asked for the four wards option with three councillors to be considered. It may have already been considered anyway, but I did actually make a point when we had the first workshop of actually asking for that to be considered, because I thought that would be a potentially even better option. However, having had a look at the four wards, three councillors option, I note that it's sort of difficult to maintain communities of interest because of the population density down this end of the council area and having to split it up and things like that. So I came to the same sort of conclusion as Councillor Daniel, that the three wards, four councillors option was the best. So I support the motion.
Thank you. So nobody else would you like to speak on the item? I don't think you want to support Councillor Hammond, but do you want to line your phone? Thank you. For those in favour. Well, I'm going to carry the name, but thank you everyone. That's my self
rated.
See what the community scars, eh? They might be a brief consultation. Might overturn a lot of their own legislation. Okay, so now we can move forward to the next item. We now have okay, so the last item we've got is potential items for you. Now we're looking for a mover and second, or if somebody have any questions on this. Is there anyone wanting to move something? Are you having queries? Are you having questions about the item? Thank you.
Happy to move the decision on,
ma'am. Do you have a seconder? Do you want to speak to it? Well, yes. I think you've got a seconder. Thank you so much. You can be the speaker. Thank you for something that is in favour.
I'd actually like to speak to it.
Sorry, I have to put my hand off the phone.
No, is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to again mention that I'm uncomfortable with the default until further orders being put in on
confidential information currently, and I think we need to be looking at how we can be more transparent. There are some items that I would think could potentially come out of confidence now, but I won't prosecute them now. But I just do think we need to be really considering how we're looking at what we do and don't keep them confident.
Well, what I would also suggest is maybe it would be useful if you noted them down, and if there are particular ones that we think we should come out of confidence, and then report that to the administration, and maybe they can raise up another time we're doing a workshop or a management point for this board. Thank you. Looks like we've got some other support in the room as well. Okay, so this time I will go the way. What will those in favour? Well, now we need, now we've got, sorry, we can talk, no information items. Item 13,
using them, we still need to do with division 2.
Sorry, can you move up again, sorry? Can you just go up to the building? Thank you very much. You know, we don't have any what's in the bank assets down over there. Right, sorry, couldn't read it by my phone. All right, so let's go to the next part of this, which is decision 2. This is looking at the resolution 263/23, the electricity procurement. Now, is there anything here, CEO or Mr. Waters, that you had experience on or wanted to add any new information or anything? That's fine. So, is anybody willing to move something based on this item? Thank you. Councillor Graham, would you like to speak?
No, you said it's printed, your worship.
Okay. For a second, thank you. Councillor Officer. Okay. Does anybody wish to speak to the item? The queries? All right, thank you. So, we'll go, I'm assuming, thank you, Councillor. Oh, yeah, I've got a bit of a moment. So before you go into confidence, I've got two conflicts of interest. The first one being with
So what we have in our agendas is different from what's up here on the board at the moment. And what we have in our agendas is the recommendation is that the report be received and noted, and the CEO has substantially met their key performance indicators. And this, what we're seeing up on the board, I think is listed in our agenda as item 19.1.
Which is
I don't know if that's what's confused me, but I'm going to. Can we check then on the governance part, Mr. James Ballard? 12.8 has printed for the course, so I'll ask them to vote on. I don't have a problem. I'm sorry, I have to extremely much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Europe, so what I've got here is under 12.8, it's not on the order of business, but I thought it would be the agenda of just items 1 and 2.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's correct. Okay. So can we make sure that we have an election and Okay, so I'm going to declare, sorry, I don't know if this is before I know, so I'm going to declare general conflict of interest here. And we're going to be fair money person not considered advice of your client interest. It might result in me acting and now it's going to be to my public chief. So I'm going to ask them to get the election of them, just people in the full place, and then I'll come back. Please bring it on, and I'm sorry.
We're going to like to move something in relation to Council Parkin.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to move the item as printed.
Would you like to speak to the item?
I may as well reserve it at this point.
Okay, Councillor Grant, in a second.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. May I speak briefly?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate oversight of this motion, and people haven't yet seen the review process, but that will come at a later stage. So this is simply to recommend to council that the CEOs meet the KPIs for the September quarter, and people will see in the report those KPIs. I just want to thank the members of the panel, especially Councillor Huxter for joining the panel, and Deputy Mayor Selwood, Councillor Parkin, and our independent member Vanessa Godden, which is an excellent panel. And thanks to staff for their assistance. But particularly thank you to the CEO for being our CEO and meeting the KPIs. I think we have a fantastic set of KPIs, which are set at the right level for the level we expect the CEO to operate at. So, yeah, I commend this motion to the Chamber.
Thank you. Councillor Hammond.
A couple of questions. In the title on page 13, couldn't see what the text, but there are a couple of items. Perhaps someone fill us in on where they're at. The staff survey undertaken the status based on culture pulse hasn't been achieved. And the other one, implement an internal adaptive communication strategy. I'm assuming they're progressing, but that's something
to think. Yeah, that's the same.
Thank you for the question and through the deputy mayor. they are in progress. So dash means they're in progress. Mm. It doesn't mean that I have not achieved them. There is work around the values and behaviours and polls check. There's a meeting on Thursday with all the champions that have come from the workforce and a couple of 11 members to review the results of that survey to formulate what that will formulate our new values moving forward. Mm. Internal comms and the interactive tools. Our systems, IT systems at the moment are a little fragile, and it is a work in progress. And we are looking at getting professional help to be able to roll that out in due course. So yes, as you've read the KPIs, it's talking about an update of the program.
Would they be finished by the December quarter?
I'm anticipating that those will be substantially converted by this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak to the item? Councillor Blackham. Thank you. I reserved my right earlier, but I'd just like to step in now. It's been obviously I've been on the COP IP panel this time around, but I think I've been on the COP IP panel for actually most of my time on the council. I think there was one or 2 years where I wasn't. But this process that the COPIP has developed in partnership with some external advice, external HR advice, and our independent member, I think is probably one of the most exhaustive processes that we've ever been through on the COPIP. It's definitely not a sort of tick and flick process. It's been a real deep dive into what the council actually needs and developing something that's incredibly meaningful. In my time on the COPIP, I've never been through a process like this in terms of really working out the best practice in measuring what the council's achieving. So it's been a huge process that we've all been through, and certainly one that we didn't go through in the previous term of council. So sometimes when change happens, it can mean that you change your processes and you look really hard at what you're doing. And sometimes when things feel painful, it's when you're actually working really hard to make them better. And I know that all of us on the CEO and PIP have been working really hard to do that. And I know the CEO has been working really hard to do that. And I know the senior staff have been working really hard to do that. So I commend this motion. We've still got work to do, but that's the nature of what we do, is trying to make things better and be the best we all can be for the whole council. I know that that's what we've all been striving for. And so I commend this motion. I think we're well on board. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Councillor Grant, would you like a word of advice?
Oh, sorry, Councillor Parker, move the motion. Sorry. Okay, we'll move to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. I think I've got that to me.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you very much for doing that. Okay, now I'll put up before we go on, I'm just going to ask, is there anything else? Because I've only got up to 12.7 on the order of business. Is there anything else we only 12.7 before we have?
Yes. 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 Yes
All right, thank you. So we will go straight into correspondence for, we'll go first to item 13, information items there are none. Item 14, correspondence for information. Now, I might do this in the block that was on the road here. Does anyone have any questions that they want to say then? Does anyone have a question they'd like to ask?
Yeah, I had a question in relation to the letter 14.5 from the Auditors General and the CEO's response. It appears that at this time the Auditor General is not going to conduct an inquiry, and the CEO responded saying thank you for that information. I guess my question is, what are the next steps with respect to getting to the bottom of the matter?
So I'll ask either the CEO or Mr. Lewis, who wishes to answer the question.
Through you there, and of course, give Mr. Lewis an opportunity to make a comment. Where to from here? The plan is as prescribed in the auditors. General's letter, it's about bringing it back to the audit committee and gathering our auditors to develop a pathway forward. So the responsibility is to put back on the auditors and work with to provide a response. And the auditor general will soon expect a pathway forward once we've undertaken that. And of course, if Mr. Lewis wants to add to that, I'm sure we'll be able to do so.
Mr. Lewis?
Pretty much, that's all I want to say.
All right, thank you. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Anybody else got a question about any of the corresponding? Well, anything to move it, please? Thank you. Perhaps, how are you actually moving?
I'm happy to move it.
So, let's move Councillor Selwood. I think we've got a second or something, please. Thank you, Councillor. Kira, you seconded?
Yes.
Thank you. Robert, so we remove it and second it. I think I've answered the question. I'm going to go straight to the vote. All those in favour, please. All right, thank you. So that's carried on. Okay, so now we're going to go on to questions without notice. We know Councillor Herman has some questions, but he's also asked that the answers to the questions be written into the minutes, so we will go on that in a minute as well. So let's ask the question.
I have a few questions on the CEO and Director Ward. Progress reports on the flooding of Junction Road and Balhanna. Most people vote about smoke bank. Members may recall we received substantial smoke infrastructure project funding by the project. So that first question, progress on that one.
So can I hand it over to CEO who wants to speak for that? If you're able, thank you for the orders.
Thank you, Mr. So Junction Road first.
Junction Road first, I haven't asked a second.
Sorry, thank you through you, Rishman. I'd like to thank you, Councillor, for just giving me a bit of a heads up about this one so I could gather my thoughts and prepare a response. So members will recall the council resolved to increase its contribution to the stormwater works, or the flooding prevention works on Junction Road from $200,000 to $380,000, utilising the local roads and community infrastructure program funding. The total cost estimate for the works is in the order of $750,000 to $800,000, so council's contribution would be around half of that. And we've made numerous representations following council's resolutions to do so. To seek the state government's contribution for the remaining cost, given that we are and they are particularly indeed partially responsible for the situation. this has included meetings involving the CEO and Minister for Infrastructure and Transport. Subsequent to that meeting, a further meeting with the CEO of the department, who advised that they would come back to council with a letter with a funding proposal. And as of last week, we were told that letter was imminent. The work needs to be done this summer because the federal funding which council is utilising must be spent by the 30th of June.
Thank you. We've been, our residents are incredibly lucky we haven't had a wet winter. Right, so the vertical this morning. Second question is about the Adelaide Hills War Memorial Swimming Pool. Progress report on that. Series of inquiries. Bear in mind, the summer is only a couple of months away and could be open for use or live for use, depending on how much progress has been made.
Thank you, through you, Worship. The project that Council is referring to is the Splash Park project. Works have been up to tender. The staff are currently finalising the tender evaluation, putting doing some due diligence work on the composite of the four proposals and working towards appointing a contractor as soon as possible. We are keeping the core committee informed and engaged through the process, and that's going quite well. As a separate, related but separate exercise, we have got the Safe Power Networks engaged to do an upgrade to the power supply, which needs to be done in order to ensure the power supply on the site can accommodate the upgrading facility. Importantly, again, there's money in there being spent, which needs to be spent by the 30th of June. The works need to proceed during the time of year, which is a minimum for outdoor works, which is summer. Swimming time. However, the pool, as it is at the moment, will be accessible throughout the works. The actual splash park itself, please don't expect that will be accessible this summer. That will be the construction period. So that's the response to that. And just so the taker is aware, I will forward to my written comments and make it as easy that the policy is also responses.
Thank you. And I'll move that the questions and answers prescribed by the director be incorporated in the minutes.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll second that. Thank you, Councillor Bill. All those in favour, please. All right, thank you very much. It's carried on. All right, we now come to item 16 on the agenda, that's motions without notice. I haven't received any. Are there any at this moment? All right, so we move on to item 17. That's reports. These are reports by members about their functional activity with members of council. There are some listed there. Is there anyone who wants to highlight anything on or are there any questions with regards to these items? Everyone happy in the report? Okay. So we'll go on to 17.2. Is there anything in 17.2? No. Okay, so we'll go on to item 17.3, and I invite the CEO to please make his report. Thank you.
Sure, and thank you through you, Mayor. Just a short report. I talked earlier about the values program that is commencing on Thursday. We've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes over the last week or two and collecting that information. So looking forward to that starting on Thursday. There'll be a series of, I guess, workshops and engagement. Seminars by the members, staff and relatives along the way in terminating those values that will hopefully forge to help us delivering our ambitious strategic plan. The other thing that I'd like to bring your attention to is that we are out to market for the replacement director in community development. That was official as of this week. And the application's been closed probably in about 4 weeks' time. I've commenced now that there has been some clear air and clear path. I've commenced on small group discussions across the organisation. So I'm focusing on getting out to our 240 staff, meeting the small groups on site or at sites across the area, and having frank, open, honest conversations around where this organisation is heading and the vision of this council. And it's been very effective and very productive. So, yeah, that's Yeah, so that's what's been occupying my time. And the other matter that I'd like to draw council's attention to is the boundary change. I guess auditors have approached us, BDO, and they're seeking some input from us. And so we're collating some information and getting key start to collect that information by that BDO. Which will ultimately form a report that will benefit back to the evolution. That's all I have for today. Thank you.
Just a brief thing.
Yes.
Did they indicate that they can require such and such a date so they complete their report by?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yeah, very good question, Councillor Herman. They've actually given us a couple of weeks to respond. Which you what is a reasonable time frame, but they're anticipating that most of that information will come to them before Christmas, where that will allow them to prepare the report for early next year. But look, they have been quite, I guess, accommodating around our constraints and in providing this type of information.
Thank you.
Sorry, so just to clarify, the information is to be supplied by us by Christmas. Is that correct?
They've asked us to respond over the next couple of weeks, so that was a reasonable time frame, but they would think a reasonable time frame to meet their, I guess what they provided to the commission is possibly to have information in by December for them to prepare a report for early next year.
It would be put the information together Christmas and then.
Well, we're hoping.
And was there any further following on from what Councillor Herman said? Then you say in the new year, do you know is that when the commission will be then looking at that?
Possibly, yeah. Those time frames are a bit loose at the moment. What we need to do is provide them in the next couple of weeks what is a realistic time frame around how long it will take for us to compile the information that they've requested.
Right, thank you for that. So anyone else have any questions to the CEO? Okay, so let's go on to item 18. It doesn't look like we have anything with the assessment panel or the board of meeting. We do have the CEO performance review panel meeting. So we're just noting and accepting these reports. Is that correct? Anything on any enhancement? I've got an 18.4. Okay, so now we can actually didn't bring that on separate questions.
I'm happy to move 18.3 just to receive a vote for a minute.
Thank you. So we have a mover to second that. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Okay, has anyone got any questions about those minutes? All right, so all those in favour, please. Thank you. No, I think we'll then change the layout. Okay, now we get to the conversation on the thing.
Can I ask a question? Yes, I am. I just realised I'm actually going away. It's too late to ask for a leave of absence now. I'm not going to meet him. Welcome to the back end, exactly. Coming up, I'm going on the 27th to the 3rd. But I was only missing a workshop, so I thought I'd just be an apology. But then I heard that I might be expected to do other things on the day, so I'm away. So I should have been leaving that.
I'll be
in
on the workshop.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to stop and not leave. I don't want to do the whole thing that's the main thoughts on the workshop. So if you need to move out, we would just revert then back to the item. We'll revert back to our leave of absence. Can you do that one? Okay, right, so why don't we make it? Start making it.
I
Okay, so let's just hold on that. Let's forget our reports of committees done.
I'm so sorry about that.
No, that's all right. So, do we need to make a note in my files?
No, it's not. So, we need to sign my time.
So, we're going to do that.
That would be better to run it.
Does it matter if it goes back, just back to the beginning of the program?
Yeah, because.
I'm just going to do that. I'm doing 8A and we can leave the confidential items because otherwise we don't know how long they've been going on, all that sort of stuff. So let's just for an urgent item, 18.A. And then so request for leave of absence, Councillor Ryan, what was your date, please?
27th of September to the 3rd of October, and my apologies to everyone.
No, that's all right, you don't have to apologize. There's been a lot of changes in a lot of meetings and stuff, so we understand. So can we have a mover, please? Thank you, Councillor Chair, and the seconder. Thank you, Councillor Selwood. All those in favour? Thank you, everyone. So there we are. So now we come to the confidential items. I'm sorry, I'll just need to check. Do I declare my conflict of interest before we go to conference or after the board? So I'm going to declare conflict of interest for both items, one and 19.2. Okay, so let's go on to 19.1. I'm going to say with 19.1 a general conflict of interest, whereby in partial Caroline person might consider that my elected member of my private interest might result in me acting in a manner of conflict of duty as per section 75 of the Local Government Act. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the room, and I will ask the deputy mayor to come up and take over this point, if you could call the confidence of that.
Madam Mayor, point of order.
Thank you.
No, I stand to be corrected. Mm-hmm. I think the Act requires you to state what your actual interest is, that it's published in the minutes, according to the law.
Yes, so I'm going to do that.
Okay, so if there's any room in the conference, I would like to move something. Thank you. We'll go straight to the vote. All those in favour? Thank you.